Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you. Tongue and teeth.
saying there's a fallout even in that independent of each other. So what they have to do is they have to learn how to get over what is going on and use some grace to be able to start working again correctly, because the whole body is dependent on the tongue and feet working together in order, of course, to get nourishment to the body. That's the same way it is with Christian believers. We have to understand that there's many members in the body, but there's one body, and all of us play a vital role in the nutrition or nurturing, building up or strengthening the body of Christ. So when things happen from time to time where we're like the tongue and the teeth fall out, we have to learn how to get over it. And it's really a challenge for us, because a lot of times we always want to have it our way. That's just generally how the flesh is we just want to have it our way. When it doesn't go our way, we get in our feelings, we get in our emotions, and we begin to act ungodly or worldly or fleshly, fleshy, instead of acting as if we were in a position at one time in our lives where we needed to receive some grace, where we needed to receive understanding, where we needed to give it another chance. So when Paul is talking about this in verse 29, he's saying, Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. He's saying that, you know, there should be some taming of our tongue. There should be some thinking about how you are going to speak to somebody, because those words can bring life and they can bring death. So that's why he's talking to the believers, because when he's talking to believers, we have a tendency sometimes to just say anything and whatever we want to say out of our mouths without really thinking about the consequences of what we're saying. It's a challenge because we don't know how far those words go out, and many times we don't realize that once those words go out, they can't be retracted. Life for the death that they're producing is already taking place. And so this is why he's speaking to the church at Ephesus to let no corrupt communication come out of their mouth, but that which is good to the edifying of the body of Christ. So, you know, it's an old saying that says, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say anything at all. If you can't edify, you can't build up, don't use your communication to tear somebody down. Don't use your communication to discourage somebody or cause someone to feel like they're not a part of the body of Christ. And it's important for us to understand that if someone is saved, someone's born again, filled with God's Holy Spirit, that they are a part of the body of Christ, whether their maturity level is that of a two-year-old or someone that's 100 years old, that it's not up to us. We shouldn't be trying to belittle that person. We should be trying to use that person or make that person feel bad or look down at that person. But we should be looking at that person as a part of the body of Christ, help build up or edify the body of Christ, and encourage them to use their gifts we were talking about earlier in this chapter 4 to help. And so if we go into it with a mindset of looking at this person as they're part of the body of Christ, that God can use them, God wants to use them to help build up the body of Christ, we should be as mature Christians saying, hey, how can I help them? How can I be more patient with them? And, daily bread, speaking of this day's session. But we need to think about how, you know, someone helped us, or someone was patient with us, how someone helped us get, you know, my son is learning how to drive now, and he's a interesting driver, but someone had to help me learn how to drive. So when you go into communicating or fellowshipping with fellow believers in Christ, it's not always going to be a pleasant thing. It's not always going to be a thing where you see eye to eye. It's not always going to be something where you all get along, but if everyone has the mindset that we're trying to build each other up to help build up the body of Christ for the work of the ministry, then what happens is we can put aside our petty differences or arguments or emotions to the point where we can get what needs to be done or get accomplished what needs to be accomplished for Christ. And so the key in this, in that verse 29, Ephesians 4:29, is saying that we should minister grace unto the hearers. Grace. In other words, give them something that they don't deserve. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Give them a little more understanding. Give them a pass to the point where you're saying, hey, you know, I know you're coming in here. You might be a little rough. You might be a little upset. You might be a little looking at it a different way. But I'm not going to jump all over you. I'm not going to, you know, beat you up about it. But I'm going to have enough grace to be able to put up with a little bit of your stuff. Because all of us have a little bit of stuff with us. And we need some grace. You know, just be for real. We all need some grace. And so what Paul is saying, we need to minister grace to each other. The church needs to learn how to minister grace to each other. We need to look at Christ's example and learn to minister grace to each other. Serve each other with grace. Minister with grace. Minister with an understanding that, you know, I'm going to love you in spite of you. I'm going to work with you in spite of your difficulty areas that you are to work with. And, you know, that's a tough thing to do sometimes. But when you look at it in retrospect of what God has to put up with you or what God is doing for you, then you can really thank God for his grace. And you can begin to start reciprocating that to others. So it's a very important lesson that we need to learn today. And one of the things we talked about on last week is that many times if we're not in the right frame of mind or spiritually in the frame of mind, that we won't be able to do this. And so we said we have to learn how to be praying in a fasting church, praying in a fasting body of Christ, so that our flesh doesn't become dominant over our spirit. And that's what happens when we begin to go into prayer and fasting on a regular basis, is that our spirit becomes dominant. Holy Spirit that God has given us, inner man becomes dominant, and the flesh begins to take second place, if you will. But if you're not praying, if you're not fasting, then the flesh will be dominant. A lot of times Christians go their whole life having bad attitudes, having little grace for anybody, being a person that a lot of times people don't even want to be bothered with, because their flesh is dominant instead of their spirit. And you can pick them out a mile away. If you see someone that's operating in grace, one that's genuinely concerned with someone else, that's taking other consideration, that person has their spirit, the Holy Spirit is dominant. But if you're not a person that's yielded to the Holy Spirit, prayer, through fasting, studying the Word, proper application of the Word to your life, you're saved, but your flesh is dominant, not under control of the Spirit. You haven't taken off of things of the flesh. You haven't taken things off of the world. Basically, you're an irritating Christian. Uh-oh. Amen. And so this is what Paul is trying to do. He's trying to say we shouldn't be irritating, obnoxious Christians, but we should be Christians that are full of grace because of the grace that God has given us. So if we take a look at ourselves, if we take a look at our lives, if we look at ourselves in the mirror, saying, am I an irritating Christian? Am I an arrogant Christian? Am I a Christian that has no grace? Am I a complaining Christian? Am I one that people don't want to be around? If I'm one that always has an attitude or a scowl or upset about something, and if I am that type of person, then what happens is I need to ask God to give me a little more grace to the point where I can find out how I can allow my spirit to dominate instead of my flesh dominating. That yes, I live in the fleshly body, but I don't have to be dictated to or act out according to the flesh, but I can allow my spirit, my inner man, to be able to overshadow that. I can be more in tune with Christ. And that's where we need to be in our Christian walk. But again, it comes from prayer, it comes from fasting, it comes from studying the word and application of the word in our lives. And you sit back and just look at yourself, you can say, wow, that is so true about me. Wow, that is so true about the way I behave. And we can begin to ask God to give us some grace to make improvements. But then you can also observe, you know, others around you, and you can see the ones that are applying it. Grace. You can see the ones that on a regular basis are acting Christ-like. And it's because the Holy Spirit, their inner person, inner man, is dominant in their life. And so we have to see the Apostle Paul, when he goes down to verse 30, he says, basically, grieve not the Holy Spirit. So what do you mean, grieve the Holy Spirit? So we've been talking about the inner man, the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And when the Holy Spirit is not allowed to be dominant in us, over the flesh, what happens is it grieves the Holy Spirit, which is something that we really, really should strive not to do. We should strive not to grieve the Holy Spirit, because our Holy Spirit is what is our direct contact with Heavenly Father. This is what allows us to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, be able to overcome what our physical circumstances are by allowing us to walk by faith, not by sight. It allows us to be able to get in a situation in this world, but not of this world, that we can be generated, renewed, encouraged, in spite of what's going on in our lives, because of our connection with God through the Holy Spirit. This is what was lost with Adam and Eve in the garden when they in the Garden of Eden, but was cured by Jesus during his death, burial, resurrection, allowed the Holy Spirit to come. He was filled with his Spirit. And so now we have gotten his grace, this connection back with God. But we're still in this flesh that has fallen or corrupted by sin. Our soul or our being, our inner man has the ability to choose who will be dominant in our lives, whether it's the Spirit or whether it's the flesh. And so when we make the choice not to allow the Holy Spirit to be dominant in our lives, what happens is it grieves the Holy Spirit. And I think too many times we don't take enough time to really understand what's happening. What's happening there is the Spirit becomes grieved, becomes in a way very concerned that we're not living up to the potential that he wants us to live up to. In other words, if I can put it in dollar and cent terms, is we're not getting most bang for our buck. In other words, being overburdened or overtaxed by the flesh, when you don't have to live that way. So God's Spirit, our Holy Spirit, is telling us we don't have to live that way. We don't have to live without hope. We don't have to live without joy. We don't have to live without love. We don't have to live. So when we live without hope, live without joy, live without peace, live according to the flesh, it grieves the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit says it has so much more for us. It has such a better life. He has such a better life for us. And so it grieves us. It grieves him when we don't take advantage of it. Sort of like with your children. When you know your children are smart, intelligent, and they could live a better life, and they choose to dumb it down, if you will, not live up to their potential that we have with our children or our loved ones. It's similar to what the Holy Spirit has when we don't live up to joyous life, don't live up to a life, new life in Christ, where we don't have to be tormented by sin, don't have to be troubled by our past, but we can live a life knowing that sins have been given, that God has wiped our slate clean, that our conscience can be quite clear, that we can live victorious this world. And so when we don't live that way, we go back to the things of the flesh, it grieves the Holy Spirit, because he knows that he has a better life for us. Trust him, walk in him, that our lives will be better. So this is what he's saying in that verse, in verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. So what he's saying here is that you don't have to live that way. You don't have to live according to the flesh. You don't have to go back into the world, because once you believe, the Holy Spirit seals you. In other words, he seals you where you no longer can be lost. You no longer have to go back to the world. He seals you and puts you back in the proper relationship with God, so that you don't have to go back to those things. You're sealed. You're saved. Been bought with a price. You have been purchased by God. You've been sealed with the security of salvation stamped on. And there's nothing that can change that. And so why live like you aren't saved? Why live like you haven't been redeemed? Why live like you don't have the ability to walk in the Spirit? And so when the Holy Spirit said, wow, he did all of this for you, we called you, we saved you, healed you, given you a new name, a new spirit, and a new life, why do you go back to that? And that's what grieving our Savior. That's what grieves our fellow members in the body, when we see potential of other members in the body, but they're not living up to it because they want to live in the old man, the old nature. And it grieves us to see them not live a new life that God. That's the part that concerns me with the body of Christ. I don't think sometimes we give the Holy Spirit that type of respect. I don't think we give the Holy Spirit the respect that he is with us all the time. Amen. I think we forget that everywhere we go, wherever we are, the Spirit of God that God has given us, direct connection to God, is with us all the time. So we say things, we do things, we act certain ways, we perform in less than a godly way, and it's all because we forget that the Holy Spirit is with us, and our flesh becomes dominant, and we go days and weeks, talk certain ways, act certain ways, and do certain things, not remembering that the Holy Spirit is right with you the whole time, watching you, experiencing with you, going through the things that you do or that we do that are worldly, and he's there all the time, and we don't give him that reverence, that respect that he deserves. And I think it's because, I don't know if we as teachers, we don't teach it enough or we don't speak about it enough, but the Holy Spirit, that is our connection to God. When we come and pray, like we're teaching right now, the Holy Spirit, we're in worship together. It's the Holy Spirit that brings us all together and creates the worship. When we're in trouble or despondent, we feel the presence of God overcome us and overflow us. That's the Holy Spirit. God, you know, when Jesus was ascending to heaven before he ascended, that he'll pray to the Father and that he would send us another comforter. He would be with us and be in us. And so this is God's promise. God promised that. And then the church was birthed. In the book of Acts, where it talks about on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came into the world. Spirit is with us and in us everywhere we go. We are spirit-filled beings. We have our direct contact renewed back with God, and so we have to allow that direct contact to begin to be dominant in our lives and not taking second place to the flesh. And when we start to understand that, then we will begin to start experiencing that the Holy Spirit has for us in life in Christ. And it takes some understanding, it takes teaching, it takes some applying it to your life to realize what we have at our disposal. it's like sometimes people have a treasure and don't even know it's a treasure. But we have the greatest treasure of that we'll ever experience, and that's the presence of God in our life. And when you say, I got the presence of God in my life, that's the greatest treasure. You can't. That's the greatest treasure. You can't buy that. You can't put a price tag on that. No matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the situation or the circumstance, you and I have a direct contact with God, and that he's there to provide us with whatever we need all the time. And it's just an awesome thing. And so it should change the way we behave with each other. It should change the way that we should behave in the world toward those that are in the body of Christ, in our local churches, in our neighborhoods, the way we behave in our job, is that we have Christ with us all the time. And so we should behave in a manner that way that we really, really understand. We're gonna try to get some folks on the line. We didn't get a chance to talk to anybody on last week, but we're going to get folks on the line tonight. And we're just going to ask the question, what do you think it would take for us to be more aware that the Holy Spirit is with us all the time, and that the Holy Spirit wants us to be able to live the abundant life that Christ died for us able to live? So that's going to be the question. What is it going to take for us to be more aware? I know we talked about prayer, we talked about fasting, we talked about studying more, but I just want to get a couple of folks' take on what we're talking about tonight, about that grieving that Holy Spirit and what we need to do to turn that around so that the Spirit can be dominant instead of the flesh. All right, I'm going to call out the last four digits of the phone number, and we're going to call out the last digit of your phone number. We're going to let you know that you're on the air. We just want to hear what you have to say. We're going to call out 1741. 1741, you're on the air.
Hi, Pastor Kayson. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Good.
I think if we, well, for myself, I think if I just make more of an effort when I'm praying and talking, include the Holy Spirit instead of saying I, say us and we, you know, use God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit more, then I think I would be a little more conscious. I know the Holy Spirit is there, but sometimes, yeah. You know, I think I forget, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes when I ask for things, I'll say in Jesus' name, but I know the Holy Spirit is guiding me. And so
yeah.
I think sometimes we need to address the Holy Spirit in, you know, for the works that he does, you know, that he is
right.
doing in our life. You know, addressed him, and, you know, Holy Spirit, I need you to guide me, you know, in Jesus'
yeah.
name. And that way,
yeah.
I think we will become a little more present of the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
taking control of our life and leading us in the things that we need to do.
Right. So what do you think about this, where he talks about grieving not the Holy Spirit? What do you think this Holy Spirit feels when he's not allowed to be dominant in our life and he has lay subdominant to the flesh?
Well, sometimes the Holy Spirit will say, okay, since you're not recognizing me, then I'll let
right.
you go on and, you know, make the mistake. And
mm-hmm.
eventually you will learn that you need my guidance.
Right.
God is so merciful with us, you know, even when
mm-hmm.
we don't do that. You know what I'm saying? He gives
right.
us another chance because he has given us that grace and that love and that mercy.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
As we grow closer to him and develop more of a closer relationship with him, you know, I just think that we should make an effort to use the Holy Spirit more and more. If certain things that happen to me in life where I would say, Holy Spirit, thank you so much, thank you so much.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I won't say anything. You know, I know the Holy Spirit is doing it, but, you know, I won't say anything, you know. And so I think it's just a conscious thing that I just need to address the Holy Spirit more, and not be fearful, not be afraid. Because I know that everything I do, the Holy Spirit, you know, he's in control. He's in, you know, everything comes from him. You know, he's working through, you know, for Jesus. He's testifying, you know, the word, everything. Everything we receive of Jesus come through the anointing power of the Holy Spirit. And without the Holy Spirit in our life, we have no power. We have no strength. We can't do anything.
And it's interesting. Let's talk about a little bit about in our worship experience. When we don't allow the Holy Spirit and all of us when we gather to be dominant, I think sometimes our worship experience isn't what it could be. In other words, it could be a whole lot more intimate with God through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
If believers' worship experience would allow the Holy Spirit to be dominant. I think sometimes people come to church programmed to do religion instead of coming to worship in spirit and in truth. So when you say we worship in truth, everyone's bringing their Holy Spirit to a worship experience so that we can experience God through worshiping in spirit and truth and not allowing the flesh to dominate over.
This is so true. And another thing, Pastor, is a lot of time we put God in this, we have enclosed him in this box. And God wants to do the supernatural. He wants the Holy Spirit to work in our life.
Yeah.
And he wants us to have all the benefits. But sometimes we have already have this preconceived notion of how the Holy Spirit is going to function and what God is going to do. And if we see anything that we think is not, you know, of the norm, a lot of time we will quench that spirit, you know, or be afraid of what other people will think or feel.
Right.
But when we allow God to operate in the fullness and allow the Holy Spirit to do his job, then and be open to the Holy Spirit, then we can receive all the blessings that the Holy Spirit wants to give us.
Amen, amen. And a lot of times we just do that. We put him in a box and we say, okay, this is the way it has to be. And we look at others when they don't fit in the box that we've made and see the Holy Spirit working in there. And it's, it can't be like that. He can't work like that because it doesn't work that way in my box. So I won't allow
that's
him to
right.
work that way in my box.
True.
And you get a lot of that. I know when I was coming through seminary and biblical college that they would teach you certain things through the book, but as a child of God, you would have to be able to say, okay, this is okay to know, but you need to know the Holy Spirit to be able to relate what the Word of God says. And so you can't get boxed in on what man says or what the teacher is saying or what the professor or the instructor is saying. But we have to know what the Holy Spirit is saying. Sometimes people can use teaching and scripture that will bind people instead of freeing people.
Another thing, Pastor, is I have to keep telling myself, and before we get to church, the Holy Spirit has already, he knows who's going to be there. He knows who's going to be in the Sunday school class. He knows who's going to be at the services. And so all during the week, during preparation, the Holy Spirit already knows what his people need.
Yeah.
And so when we are in tune with him, then he will give us the message. He will give us the words of encouragement or the teaching, whatever we need to meet the people need. Because this is why he has his people there, so that their needs can be met. But a lot of times, you know, flesh or self will get in the way, and you you know, like you might have to change at the last minute, and you say, well, no, this, I know this can't be right because I already have this structured and I have it this way. But like God has already looked over his people. And sometimes God will lead people, you know, going in one direction. He will turn around and say, go here. I need you to go here today because I have a word for you today. So every person that enters through that door, God has something for them to receive if they are willing to receive it.
And that's the key, again, when we were talking about this grace that God wants and how we should be in tune with the Holy Spirit where we don't grieve him. Again, when people start understanding that the flesh is a formidable enemy, and that it will put up a good fight. But if you learn to fast, that those two avenues Jesus used allowed him to continue to walk in the Spirit and stay in tune with the Father. How important do you believe that this praying and this fasting?
I know for a fact praying and fasting is so crucial. There are certain times in my life where I feel like, you know, I'm not getting anywhere. You know, it's like, you know, things seem to be like overwhelming me. But when I start spending that quality time with God and I start, you know, fasting and I start praying more, meditating on his word more, then I get that inner strength. And another thing is the things around us. As we get closer to the Lord, we want to be more focused on the things that are centered around God more and not worldly things. And so I can tell when I'm getting away from the Lord because I get into the television too much. I get into other things that attract my attention, you know. And so God has ways of moving us or drawing us to him, you know. And I'm glad that the Holy Spirit does that, and he does it with love. He doesn't let us get too far out there, you know. Sometimes he nudges us and we don't want to come, but, he keeps on. You know, God has, he has a drawing power. He knows how to get our attention.
And that, I think that's one of the things as this point in my ministry, that I'm finding that more and more people have struggled with that for the majority of their Christian life, of how to deal with this formidable entity called the flesh that we live in. And just through the years and see people a lot of times have be willing, wanting to do what's right according to the word of God, but not being able to do it and getting frustrated, throwing up their hands because the flesh is a formidable and not realizing how to deal with it. Now, I've seen people where they do well for a period of time and but fall back to the same trapping of the flesh. And comes from not having a continuous relationship, continuous fast, continuous prayer, ongoing spiritual fortification in their lives. And I think the enemy is direct to the point where he would lull the flesh. Prayed, Bible or whatever, but that's all you need. And what happens is we begin to start running, I call it low, or run out of gas, running on fumes, when all we had to do was go to the Holy Spirit on a regular basis and get filled up, so we could continue to operate in the Spirit. But I think sometimes we just think that I can just get a little filling here, and that's going to carry me. But in actuality, we constantly feel filled up. Ms. Lindsay?
Yes, Pastor. It was kind of was cutting off a little bit. I can hear you now.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we're gonna go to our next caller, but thank you for your comments, Minister Lindsay. We're gonna go to our next caller.
Thank you so much, Pastor, for the words of encouragement.
Amen. We're gonna go to 2122s. 2122. How you doing?
Happy Thursday. You know, in the book of Galatians, Paul spoke about that in the 5th chapter, 16 through the 26th verse. That flesh is a beast that's hard to corral, and we can't corral it.
No.
And it's always, it's up 24 hours a day when we sleep. And that's to keep us from walking in the Spirit.
Yeah.
So our main focus should be to too fast, too meditate, because if you're not careful, we can come together and it just be routine. We'll look at it as a routine when we come together as fellowshipping. Let's just go through the motions, say our goodbyes, and go on our own way.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah, but and that's the flesh doing that, because the flesh go through routines.
Yeah.
A lot of times we just need to get away from those things that beset us, as Paul used to say, that will hinder us.
Right.
And start studying God's word more, and in turn help edify others in the body of Christ, which will help edify us.
Absolutely. So
and that's
the flesh,
all I have to say about
The flesh, it likes routine. It likes being comfortable. Okay, it's football season, so I know at a certain time I need to look for the sale and see what kind of beer or what kind of liquor's on sale, and I like these types of hot dogs. Time the games will come on, and it likes to be comfortable. It likes that routine. It's just like worship.
Yes,
people come to worship, and a lot of times people like to go to a church where they really don't have to do anything. They just come to be entertained. Okay, this time at this time, I know the choir's going to sing this. They're going to sing good, and we want the choir to entertain us. We want the preacher to entertain us, and, you know, that's our entertainment for that Sunday, for that period of time, not even really allowing the Holy Spirit to minister to us or to build us up, but we just went through that routine. So what do you think, Brother Lee, would cause us to be more, I would say, respectful of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and not only be respectful but not grieve him? What would you think we would have to do?
Collectively, I think we need to love one another more, collectively. And if we see a brother or sister faltering, let's work our way to try to build that person up and find out what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Individually, in which a lot of times we may not be around our fellow brothers and sisters, we know what the works of the flesh is. If we don't, then we need to hit the book. Galatians 5:19 will tell us what the work of the flesh is. And we need to set aside from that. See, ignorance is really no excuse
for not reading
the Bible, for not reading the Word of God, especially if you don't confess Christ as Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
Because either the flesh going to overtake the spirit in us, or the spirit going to overtake the flesh. They can't coexist. And it's no fine line of coexisting. One is going to beat down the other in our life, in our life.
Dominant, right? One's going to be dominant.
Yes.
What do you think about the Christian's life? To be a Christian and not have the Holy Spirit dominant in your life, that means that you're saved, but you're living miserable. You're not living up to the potential or the benefits or the abundant life that Christ has given. And I've seen so in ministry, I've seen so many Christians living that way, where they're saved, but they're just miserable. They're always whining, complaining, upset. You know, it doesn't even seem like they have joy in their life. And it's like the Holy Spirit is grieved, saying, you can have such an abundant life if you would just let me be dominant and allow me to bring this new life, and if you would just turn that flesh loose.
Well, let's be honest about this.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we like what we do in the flesh.
Tell the truth.
So, yeah, and the spirit can be put on hold at that moment, whatever we like to do. Then we mm-hmm. might come back to the spirit and say, well, you know, let me come back to the spirit. But then another opportunity comes to fulfill the lust of the flesh, and we go that way again.
Yeah.
We're always
yeah.
in and out. And mm-hmm. I myself have been that way, so I can speak mm-hmm. firsthand.
Right.
I'm just coming to the realization in my life that I need to be more into the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this flesh can be beat down, man.
I know. So
I mean, well, I mean, this flesh, I'm talking about KOing the flesh, you know?
I know, and we have to slay it daily. We have to kill it daily. And I think more teaching needs to be done on that, because we want people to live an abundant life. Christ said we can have life. He said he came to have that we might have life, and that we would have it more abundantly. And
that's what it says.
Christians, we're not experiencing that abundant life. That means that the Holy Spirit is not dominant in our life. So we have to teach more, we have to preach more, we have to educate the body of Christ more, that there's more to it than what the flesh is telling you it is. That we can live an abundant life in spite of what our situation or what our circumstance is. And so when you begin to start living that type of life, when you begin to start living that type of spirit-filled life, you can really begin to start enjoying your relationship with the Holy Spirit. What do you think, Brother Lee, Dr. Lee, how do you think we can get that message out more?
I think we need to maybe, like I said, have class on it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Have a class on, because obviously there's issues in the church house, in the body of Christ, whereby
right.
at times there's no problem grieving the Holy Spirit.
It's like the Holy Spirit's here, but yeah, he'd be all right. He sit over there. It's almost like we treat the Holy Spirit as just another, you know, acquaintance that we have, instead of being the third part of the Trinity of God, or the third part of the Holy Trinity of God. And it was just like, you know, he's just another, you know, just another acquaintance that we have on Sunday that we talk about. You know what
and
I mean?
You know what? That's the truth. The Spirit is part of the Godhead. And
yeah.
If you're not careful, we'll forget all about that.
Right. And people in the church, and people in the church will behave like, you know, he's just another, you know, Holy Spirit. Oh yeah, we'll talk to him. Go over there, sit down over there, Holy Spirit. You'll be all right. You know, give him a fan,
yeah.
Let him fan,
yeah.
Chill out while we operate in the flesh, doing what we call a worship experience. And God says in his word that they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. And when the Spirit's present, we tell him, we're going to worship, but we're going to leave the Holy Spirit out of it. You go over there and sit down, give him a fan and make a glass of water and put him on the side, and we're going to worship in the flesh, because the flesh like to do its thing in worship instead of allowing the Spirit to have his way. Talk to Lee.
You nailed that, Pastor Case, huh? You don't need no chaser behind that. You nailed it, and that's a fact.
Hey, amen, amen. Well, we thank you for your comments tonight. We're going to go to our next caller, but thank you for your comments tonight.
Yes, sir.
All right, we're going to go to 5904. You are on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, listening to everyone's comments, I myself need to learn how to control my flesh a little bit.
Yeah.
And try to think that if I do something that's not pleasing to God, that I'll be punished for that wrongdoing. Or chastise. And sometimes that's easy said than done, you know, because sometimes before you know it, your teeth and your tongue will start chatting and moving, and you've done it, and then you're trying to find a way to get out of it. And from last Sunday in church, I'm still focusing on that sermon where you're talking about your teeth and tongue shall fall out. And And I'm still trying to control the tongue, and I know that's the flesh, you know, and it's hard. But I know through prayer and studying and being around people who are more seasonal than I am in church, that I can learn, grow, just having that encouragement around me. Because by myself, I can't do it, and I know God and the Spirit and others who are in the Spirit, they can help me. But
right,
it's something
right.
that I have to want in my life. It's not
Absolutely.
Something that is given. I have to want it in order to get it. So flesh needs to be controlled. That's my
Amen.
Comment.
You nailed it right on the head. We thank you for your comments. But is so true in our lives is that we say that we are Christians, we say that we have the Holy Spirit of God, but we don't let the Spirit be dominant so that we can live an abundant life. That's what God wants us to do. So we have to learn to take the initiative to put in place in our lives so that we can be successful. A lot of times in corporate America, what people do is they'll say, hey, you're on this job, you're in this position, but we want to give you the tools that are necessary for you to be successful. That's corporate America. Corporate America understands that in order for my company to grow and thrive, I have to give to my employees on every level the tools necessary for them to be successful. And if I give them the tools that are necessary for them to be successful, then that will make my company a successful entity. And so Christ has given us all the tools that are necessary for the body of Christ to be successful through the power of his Holy Spirit. And he gave us spiritual gifts. These are the tools that are necessary for us to be successful. However, just like an employee on their job, if you choose not to use the tools, you're not going to be successful. And you're not going to be able to help that organization. And 9 times out of 10, they're going to send you through some probationary action, give you an action plan. And by a specific period of time, if you don't carry that out, then they're going to terminate you and replace you with someone else. the Holy Spirit, it is given to us. What happens is it's given us enough grace to be able to use these tools. And if we don't use them and if we don't apply them to our lives, what happens is God still needs the body to be edified, be built up. And so what will happen is he'll use someone else in that capacity to build up or edify the body of Christ. And what will happen is you'll have Christians that are on the sideline basically doing nothing, being unsuccessful, not living an abundant life. A lot of times they'll take away from the whole worship experience, the whole fellowship experience, because they're not using the tools that God has given them to be successful. So a lot of times when you come to worship, the Spirit has to fight through that negativity, fight through that flesh attitude of religion that's there in order for it to be able to minister to those who really want to live an abundant life. You got to wait for the choir to sing you happy, the music minister to play the song the right way to get you happy, the preacher to fall over, jump up, backflips, cartwheels to get you happy. Instead of yielding ourselves individually and collectively, saying, when I come to worship, I have to come with the mindset is that the only way we can worship is through the Holy Spirit. So I have to prepare myself to come, even when I'm coming in the front door, that I'm coming to worship, and the only way I'm going to worship is God says in spirit and in truth. And so the truth is his word, so I have to come knowing his word and come allowing the spirit that God has given me to be dominant over my flesh. So I have to come knowing the word. I have to come allowing my spirit to be dominant. That's when our worship experiences will become that which God wants us to be. And through that worship, we can do what we call a strength exchange, where we exchange our weakness or our deficiencies for God's strength. This is what should happen in worship. In worship, we should come, we should experience God through his corporate spirit presence, where whatever we need, he should be able to supply it to us through worship, whether it's through someone teaching, someone praying, through someone singing, someone playing music. If it's done in spirit and in truth, what the body needs will be supplied by the body. Amen. Because the body will have the gifts or the tools necessary for us to be successful. And then we can start experiencing that abundant life. But I don't think it's been taught enough. I don't think people understand it quite enough. So what happens is Sundays, on Bible study nights, on nights where we fellowship or wherever we go to church or wherever we are, I think a lot of times we operate too much where the flesh is dominant and not the spirit. And we don't come expecting, we don't come prepared, truth with the word, and letting the spirit be dominant. And so what we do is we go through, I call it an entertainment section or a religious, like we're watching our favorite TV show or something. We don't know what God intends for it to get out of it. So we have to teach it more. We have to educate it more, educate ourselves more. We have to come in that mode of, I will come knowing the truth through the word of God. And I will come with my Holy Spirit, the Spirit that God has given me, to worship him. And he's with me all the time, but he won't take over and become dominant, not unless I allow him to become dominant. It's like, again, in corporate America, if they give you everything, all the tools necessary until you apply it, you're not going to be successful. And so we have to have that mindset. There's a mindset shift that needs to happen in the believers of Christ, that we are not operating in the flesh dominant, we're operating spirit dominant based upon the truth of God's word. So we just can't say I'm spirit dominant and don't have any word. That's not going to work because the flesh is going to jump up and smack you. But you have to be spirit dominant based upon the word of God. Well, you know his spirit. And the Bible says try the spirit by the spirit to see if it's of God. And so that's where we need to get to. Out of time, but it's been a good Bible study. Tell somebody about it. Tell them to dial in or go back to the archives and pick this back up. But it's been a great lesson that the Holy Spirit has taught. I thank everyone for participating. We just want to continue to encourage people to understand we're spirit. We have the Holy Spirit with us every day, and we need to do whatever we have to do to allow him to be dominant in our life so we can experience the abundant life that Christ said that he came, that we might have life and that we would have it more abundant. Amen? All right, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for allowing us to get together around your word. Father, we thank you for the presence and the power of your spirit that has taught us tonight. And God, we just pray that this word would be an encouragement, a blessing to someone else. God, that they might be able to grow spiritually, that the body of Christ would be able to grow. Father, we pray for those that are not here tonight. We pray for Dr. G and Sheila G. We pray for both these churches, God, New Birth and Heart of God. God, we just pray that you would continue to bless us, that we would be the church that you would have us to be. We pray that you would continue to shower down your grace and your mercy, God, that we would be able to catch on and be able to do the things that are pleasing in your sight. Bless those, God, who may have illness or sickness or loved ones that are traveling in and out of town, God. We just pray your protection around them, God, that you would grant us all traveling mercy and that we would grant you covering upon all of us. And, God, we just pray, God, and that until we meet again, that your love, your grace, your presence will continue to be with us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We thank you, and we'll see you next Thursday night. Amen.